The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
So let me pray for us, and then we'll get into our Bible study. Father God, thank you for your love for us. As we look into your word this morning, show us what it means to have a God that we can trust in, to be one nation under God. God, speak to us. Through your word now, we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation,
We started this series about 6 weeks ago looking at this little thing. How many of you are aware of an election coming up? Yeah? Some of you heard about it. You can think all kinds of things. You can debate all kinds of issues. What you're not going to hear from us today is who you should vote for or how you should vote, but more, who are we as the people of God called to live in the nation where God has sent us? Throughout the last 6 weeks, we were looking at the book of Daniel. The story of Daniel and a few teenage friends and a nation captive by the Babylonian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar, pulling them into his own service, a nation far from God, and yet God had a plan. We learned in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, that it was actually a part of God's plan for that nation of Israel to be captured. God said, go to the nation where I have carried you and pray for that city. For if it prospers, you too will prosper. We've been learning what it means to be one nation under God. What it means to, regardless of who is in the White House, we have a God who is on the throne. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And today, I'm going to kind of take us looking at the Pledge of Allegiance. And the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at a couple phrases that we find and our Pledge of Allegiance. Today we're going to look at one nation under God. Next week we're going to look at the word, what does it mean to be indivisible? It's going to be an interesting week. The elections will have already occurred, and yet how do we, even though we may be divided on certain issues, how do we be indivisible? How do we be the united body of Christ on His mission? And then 3 weeks from now we're going to look at liberty and justice for all. And I encourage you to come back. We're going to have our very own representative, Thomas Turner, who works for International Justice Mission. He's going to be helping me bring the message and the challenge that week. So that's 3 weeks from now. One nation under God. What do we do when we live in a country where who God is often omitted? You know, some people say the Pledge of Allegiance and leave that phrase out entirely, under God. What do we do? What do we do when we have candidates who we don't know who to vote for? We find ourselves not wanting to vote. We find ourselves scratching our heads because we don't know what's next for us as Christians. Well, the scriptures are very clear on God's calling for us in our lives. If you are a Jesus follower, there are some things that we need to be aware of and some very clear purpose and direction for us and how we should live. And I hope to give some foundation to some things that we say often here at Hope Hill Church. First of all, there are often weeks where at the end of service, I will pray a prayer of blessing over us as a body, and I will say words like, we're not leaving the church now, we're leaving as the church. The church is not a building on a corner somewhere. It's not brick and mortar. The church is the people of God, equipped and empowered by the Spirit of God to be on the mission of God. That's the church. And so as we leave this time of being gathered, this is our time of equipping and being built up to get back out there and to be the church that God has called us to be and the city, nation, and world where He has planted us to live and to be the church. And I love our nation. I love the freedoms that we have. I love the fact that we have the right to vote. I love the fact that we have the right to gather in a government building, a school building, and worship who we believe is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I love what we have going for us as a nation, but the truth is we're not completely where God wants us. And another bit of news, we're not God's chosen nation. Jesus didn't die for the United States of America. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world. And there's a world out there that needs the people of God living like they're the people of God. And regardless of who's in the White House come January, we know that we have a God who sits on the throne. He was there before we were born, and He will be on the throne long after the 2016 election. And so we need to have some things put in perspective for us. We're not just called to be Americans. I know some of you, your goal in life is to become American citizens. And our hope is to help you take steps to get there. But each and every one of us, our greatest goal in life is not to be citizens of America, but to be citizens of heaven. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're not just called to be Americans, we are called to be ambassadors of heaven. Where do we get this from? It's a phrase that I'll often say. I'll talk about how we're not leaving the church, we're leaving as the church. I'll say phrases like, as Jesus said, God sent me and now I send you. I call you missionaries, cleverly disguised as doctors and lawyers and politicians and soldiers and soccer moms. You're really a missionary. Where do we get these phrases from? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, these words are from God Himself through Paul. And he says this, and God has committed to us, those of us sitting in this room who call ourselves followers of Jesus, we have some responsibilities before us. God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. God wants those who are in this world who do not yet know Him as a loving Lord and Savior and King of Kings. He has a message that He is entrusting to you and to me to get out into this world and let people know that God wants to be reconciled. God offers salvation freely to anyone who would receive it, but salvation is not free. God demonstrated His love for us. He gave His Son, who gave up His life. He allowed His body to be broken, His blood to be shed. He who knew no sin, Jesus lived a perfect and sinless life. He allowed His life to be taken from Him. He bore our sins upon the cross, and He says freely to anyone who would receive it, I've given everything for you. I took your sins upon myself to forgive you. No matter what you've done, I love you. I want to show you what it means to live free. But I have a mission and a purpose for you. And the first thing we need to know is that God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. If you know this message, that's just the beginning. It's now your job to go out and declare it to the next person. He says this in verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We are His hands, His feet, and we are to be His mouthpiece. We are to declare the riches of God for the people who do not yet know God. Do you know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is the highest ranking position that a government will give an individual to then send them to a foreign land to represent that nation and another nation. Do you get what I'm saying? An ambassador has the rights and the power and the authority of that nation behind them as they go out and represent that nation in a foreign land. And here, that word is what God is saying to you sitting in this room today. You and I are called to be Christ's ambassadors. We are chosen. He has chosen us to have the title of ambassador, the highest ranking position that there is in the land has been given to you and me. Do you realize what that means? Do you realize the power behind it? I want you to say it with me. I want you to say this. I am an ambassador sent by God from heaven to earth. Do you realize the power behind those words? We don't only, as an ambassador, have the power to vote once every few years. We have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The Holy Spirit power, alive and available, in us to be the ambassadors day in and day out to fulfill the mission of God that He has for us. Every day you wake up with a divine mission to be His hands and feet, to go wherever you eat, sleep, play, study, work, and shop. Everywhere your feet go, you go as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. An ambassador is not just a position reserved for a select few, those who are paid to have a title of pastor or a missionary sent to a foreign land. An ambassador is what God has called each and every one of you to be if you are a follower of Jesus. So three things I want to give you this morning. If you are Christ's ambassador, what does it mean? Number one, you need to realize that you are not elected by people, but you have been appointed and chosen by God. I used to hate recess and gym days when a PE teacher would elect captains to choose teams, especially if it was basketball season. I don't know if you've had the privilege of playing basketball with me, but I was the last to be chosen almost every time. There was a couple times where a friend of mine might be captain and I was one of the first chosen. That feels good to not be kind of waiting. Oh, I guess you're left. I guess you go on that team. Who likes to feel that way? But this morning, you're not left. God wants you to know that He has chosen you. He wants you to be His chosen vessel. We are not just elected people. It doesn't matter what other people in this world say. It's about what God says. And God calls you chosen. He calls you appointed. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me." This is Jesus speaking. "I have chosen you and I have appointed you so that you might go out and argue with people on social media about politics." Oh, wait, I read that wrong. "I have chosen and appointed you to go and to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. The fruit that we are to bear as Christians is love. How are you loving those around you? Peace. In your workplace, are there tensions that you just want to stir up? You can't wait till tomorrow to go in and just mess somebody's world up. Is that the fruit of peace? Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. These are the fruits of the Spirit that God is calling us to endure, fruit that will last, that will break down barriers. I remember as a 16-year-old teenager, this verse hit me like it never has before. I was actually at a community theater play practice for a musical. Some of you might have heard of it, called Grease. Don't laugh at me. I was at play practice and a friend of mine came up and said, "Hey, did you hear about Neil?" And Neil, you got to understand, Neil was like top dog in my school. Everybody knew Neil. He was on student government. He wore all the best clothes, Z Cavaricci jeans with those pleats. Some of you know what I'm talking about. He, the coolest bolo ties and cardigans. He dressed awesome. 16 years old, and he drove a brand new IROG Z28. Hello. I wanted to be Neil. Neil was in a couple of my classes. The way he had a really cute girlfriend. He was captain of one of the football team. He had it all. And here my friend comes to play practice, and he's like, "Did you hear about Neil?" And I'm like, "Oh, what does he have now?" So Neil's dead. What are you talking about? He took his own life. This guy who I thought had it all together, I didn't want to be rejected by Neil, so the fact that I was a believer and a Christian at that age, I kind of hid from him. The kind of things that Neil did here and there and the conversations I heard him have, I wasn't sure I should. If I wanted to be in Neil's circle, I wasn't sure I should, be real bold about my faith. And so I just kind of God will take care of Neil. And I wanted to be in Neil's circle, so I suppressed that. And I remember going to the funeral and seeing Neil in the casket, and it hit me that I had never shared my faith with Neil. I had never gone out of my way. I was too much concerned about my own status in Neil's eyes that I didn't want to somehow give him something and him see me different and not accept me into his group. And I left that day just feeling so guilty for not knowing how he had everything. How could it be that he would be hopeless, so hopeless to take his own life? A couple weeks after that, our pastor at church was preaching on this message, and it hit me that I chose you, John. I appointed you to be an ambassador in Neil's life. We need to realize the power behind those words, that God has chosen you. God has chosen each of us in this room. It's not just me as a paid pastor who gets a salary. Each and every one of us have been chosen and appointed by God to be the ambassadors in the land where He has sent us. Every day we wake up, we have that mission ahead of us that regardless of where I'm going to work today, I'm serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Number two, you are not just a regular person, but you are a royal priest of God. All right, you're already a little weird that I'm calling you ambassadors, that you're not sure how to take that, and now I'm calling you a priest. I know some of us, we think of the term priest and we think, you know, the Catholic Church, or we think certain high officials and positions, but here, God is looking at you and wants you to know that He's calling you to be a royal priest. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's special possession. And He has called you for this so that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light." There was a man in history, if you don't know much about him, even just Google and just read Wikipedia about him. His life is amazing. His name was Martin Luther. On October 31st this year was the 499th anniversary of him going up to the Wittenberg doors and nailing 99 arguments that he had against the corruption in the church of that day. It's been said that it's because of Martin Luther that we have the Bible in our own language today. It's been said that some of the corruption in the church back then, he was one of the leading forefathers of the Protestant movement to make it so that not only we have the Bible in our own language, but that you and I would see ourselves not just as individuals, but as priests. He coined the phrase, the priesthood of all believers. Do you see yourself as a priest? Do you see yourself as one sent and chosen by God to go and to minister to those that God has placed around you? That is what, I'm not making it up. It says right here, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. I know that many times we look at the church and we think that the pastors and the priests and the ministers are those who have been through special training. And yes, that is important. Those who have been voted on by a body of people, and that is, sure, there's some importance there, but you need to stop seeing yourself that a priest and a pastor is somebody who stands in front of you and teaches you, and you need to see yourself for who God has called you to be. You are chosen. You are to be His ambassadors. You are to be that spiritual influencer in the lives of those around you. God has called you, He's appointed you, and He wants to equip you to be a priest of the Most High God. Number three, in this life, our goal is not to represent ourselves, but always to represent Jesus, to represent Christ. Then He said to them all, Luke 9:23, Whoever wants to be my disciple, they must deny themselves, take up their cross. And those were deep words. This was during the Roman Empire, and the Romans knew how to use that cross to take nations and beat them into submission. As you'd enter a city, there would be crosses for miles with people who weren't doing the right thing. And Jesus says these words, if you want to follow me, you have to be willing to take up your cross. It might cost you your life. In some parts of our world today, that is what it does cost to follow Jesus. We have brothers and sisters in Christ around this world that are dying today because of their belief in Jesus Christ. If you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. In Galatians 2:20, a terrorist of a man named Saul, bent on the destruction of the Christian church, had his life radically transformed when God appeared to him and saved this man, changed his name from Saul to Paul, and Paul wrote these words in a letter to the church in Galatia. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but it is Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In light of what Christ has done for us, he has called us to live for him, to represent him. And guys, I don't want you to sit there and feel, oh man, my life is over. I have to live for Jesus. He is come to give us life of abundance, life to the full. The greatest life we could ever experience can only be found in Christ. 1 Peter 2 says it like this. The kind of life that we should live looks like this. Live such good lives among the pagans, those who do not yet know God, those who don't know of his love, those who don't know his joy, your co-workers, those who do not know Jesus. Live such good lives among them that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. And everything we do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. But Jesus said, they will know you are my followers by how you vote. He didn't say that, guys. They will know you are my followers by how you love one another, by how you live, by how we work, by how we represent Christ in our everyday lives. So what does this mean in light of our election? It means everything. Regardless of who wins this election, Jesus is still on the throne, and if you are a follower of his, you are still his ambassador. You and I have been given the highest position in the kingdom of heaven, sent to this earth to be in it but not of it, to declare his truth, to live his love, to bring his peace. And it is the job of each and every one of us here, the calling upon all of us. As brothers and sisters in Christ, are you living a life that reflects that? Are we being the people that God has called us to be? That's my prayer and my hope for us today. Let's pray. Today, my challenge to us is to look at our lives and ask ourselves, Jesus, am I living as the ambassador that you've called me to be? Am I living as the sent one? Am I living as the church in my place of employment? Am I realizing that I am to be a priest in my school? Am I realizing that I am to be ministering to the people that you've put around me on my sports team? God, help us to understand the depth that you have planted us in Prince William County or wherever it is that we live. You have put us here to be your light in a dark place. You have called us to point others to you through our good works, not in how well we can argue and debate our position. But God, we are to show the love and the light and the fruit of the Spirit in the way that we live our lives. God, we pray for our nation. We pray for the presidential candidates. We pray, most of all, God, that somehow, by some miracle, you would break their hearts and they would come to know you as Savior and Lord. But God, in spite of, regardless of whatever happens, help us to know that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You have a mission and a purpose for us as ambassadors from the kingdom of heaven. You have sent us here to earth to represent you. So help us to live in that power. Some of us, God, we've got habits and hurts and hang-ups that are tripping us up, not allowing us to live the way you're calling us to live. God, we need you. We need the body you've placed around us. Help us right now to look at our lives, to allow your Holy Spirit to point out to us areas where we need to get our act together, to be the people you've called us to be. If you're here this morning and you would say, John, I'm not being the ambassador that I know God wants us to be. God, I know I need to be better for you. Right now, if that's your prayer, you would say to God, God, make me better. Help me to be the priest you want me to be. Help me to be the ambassador that is supposed to represent you. I want you just to raise your hand to Christ right now and say, God, I need you. God, I need you in my life. I need you to help me to be the ambassador you want me to be. Help me to shine light in the dark place at my work. Help me to shine light on my sports team, at my school. God, help me to be your ambassador. Help me to be your representative. Father God, I pray for the hands. Raise your hand up right now if that's your prayer. God, I pray for those who are raising their hands to you right now. God, you've called us. You've chosen us to be your sent ones. Your ambassadors. God, I pray for each person who's raising their hand now. Help them to see what it is that you want us to be doing, how you want us to live for you, how you want us to be your ambassador, your sent one. Give us the power that raised Christ from the dead. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to live for you. Father God, I also pray for those in this room. Maybe you've come to church today and you would say, you know what, I'm at church. I don't even know why. I don't even know that I believe the stuff you're talking about, but there's something going on inside you. You feel a tugging at your heart. I want you to know that I believe that that's the Spirit of God drawing you closer to Himself. He wants you to know that He loves you, that if you were the only person on this world, He still would have come. He would have allowed His blood to be shed, His body be broken, to forgive you of your sins. And He wants to save you today. He wants to make you one of His precious children, one of His chosen people. He loves you. And if you want to accept that love into your life, all you have to do is call out to Him right now. Just say, God, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for taking my sins upon yourself. Forgive me for my sins. Help me to turn from them and to follow you. Make me new today, Jesus, I pray. Make me new. Father God, I pray that all throughout this room, your Holy Spirit would begin to mold us, make us, shape us into the people that you have called us to be. Help us to embrace that call and take a firm hold of what it means to be an ambassador, a sent one. God, if we are coming to you new today, help us to realize that you love us and you want to live through us. You want to change us and set us free from the sin that so easily entangles. You want to help us in our addictions, our struggles, our habits, our hurts, our hang-ups. God, come and begin your healing work in our lives today, I pray. As our worship team closes us this morning, I want to encourage you to think about the step that God is calling you to take. If that's to leave this place as a sent one, realizing the ambassador that God is calling you to be, I want you to come forward and to take communion, remembering that as we take a piece of bread and we dip it in the cup, we now live for Him because of what He did for us. And as we eat of that bread and taste of that cup, a symbol of His body broken and blood shed for us, we leave this place ready to live for Him. And if today you're struggling with something going on in your life that is keeping you from living that life of an ambassador, or you know that you need to give your heart to Jesus, then I encourage you to find one of our prayer team members standing around the room. They're wearing a lanyard and ready to pray with you. I'm up front here. I'd love to pray with you. Allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to you. This nation is His. This world is His. And He's calling us to be used to go into it, to make a difference, to help others to know His love for us. Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you now, one step at a time. Respond as the Lord leads you.